You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Holy God, we sometimes feel sad that you left us and ascended into heaven. And we want to know how to see you again, how to be with you. Help us to not be ashamed of your cross, but to look at it and to carry it, trusting that we will encounter you. Amen. Well, today we have biblical support in favor of online virtual worship services over the internet. In our reading from Acts chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus was lifted up as they watched, and a cloud overcame him and hid him from their eyes. A cloud. Jesus is in the cloud. There's only one question. Is it the Amazon Web Services cloud, or is it the Microsoft Azure cloud? Ha ha ha. But while the disciples were staring up at the sky, at a cloud, some angels redirected them. They said, "Why are you staring at the sky? The same Jesus who had been taken from you will come the way he left." It's confusing. Well, if he left through the sky in a cloud, why would they be at fault for staring up at a cloud? Once upon a time, true story, there was a Lutheran pastor. His name was Bob Quello. He was my pastor when I was an adolescent. He was tall and from the Pacific Northwest. Bob came to our church in Sedona, Arizona, where he was loved and admired. He was tall with a booming voice, something like this: "My name is Pastor Bob Quello." And the whole building seemed to shake. The first time I remember meeting Pastor Puello, we were moving him and his wife from one house to another. We had a moving truck rented, and some of the members of the church, including myself, I was a teenager at the time, were helping with the move. They were staying in this little house on a hillside near Airport Mesa. When we entered the home, his wife, Jan, greeted us by waving her arms and shushing us away from Pastor Puello. She said, "Bob is video editing like mad," and wouldn't let us get near him. He was hunched over at a table with a small color television in front of him, a pile of wires and gadgets, and he was holding on to some kind of joystick. He didn't even acknowledge that we were there to move all of their earthly possessions. Jan directed us toward a pile of boxes. She explained that there was some special family event coming up, and Bob was making a video montage. So we started carrying the boxes to the moving truck. The house that they were moving to was on the west side of town, on Dry Creek Road. The neighborhood was called Arroyo Seco. But it turned out that this wasn't their house. This was another rental that Pastor Bob and his wife Jan would be staying in while they built a custom home near the church. Turns out I would end up spending a lot of time there too, working. Eventually, that day, Pastor Puello stopped video editing like mad and helped us move their earthly possessions. He even drove the moving truck. I sat in the passenger seat while he drove west on Highway 89A. The sun was getting low on the horizon, and I noticed how Pastor Puello folded down the visor to block the sun, and instead of stopping here, he pushed it all the way forward so that it bent forward and touched the windshield. I had never seen that before. It seemed strange to me. My parents and everyone I had ever ridden in a car with before always folded the visor down a little bit, adjusting it just so that it would keep the sun out of their eyes. I believe I must have said something about this because I remember him saying that it was safer to point the visor forward in case, heaven forbid, you were in even a fender bender of an accident. The visor could hit you in the forehead, causing brain damage. It was at that moment that I realized that perhaps this man of God from the Pacific Northwest, not known for lots of sunshine, might know some things that I didn't. And perhaps he was somebody worth listening to, at least when it came to adjusting sun visors in moving trucks. Well, we weren't able to take all of the Puello's boxes in just one trip. There were several. And on the way back from their new rental home, we were driving south on Dry Creek Road. And in the distance, above House Mountain, or perhaps even further, down at another southern range, there hovered a constellation of thunderhead clouds because it was in late summer. They were glowing gold, a gold trim around each cloud, the clouds themselves bright, fiery orange and red. Pastor Puello remarked how beautiful they were, and I agreed. And as a new resident to Arizona, he was learning that Arizona is widely known and accepted as having the best sunsets in the entire universe. It was also fortunate that those thunderhead clouds were not on top of us, in which case we might have been carrying soggy boxes and been worried about lightning. When Jesus ascended into heaven, it appeared as though he went into a cloud. God has used clouds throughout salvation history as a way of mediating the presence between the divine and the mundane. Moses went into a cloud to receive God's law. Jesus was transfigured in a cloud. But you know, being in a cloud isn't necessarily a good feeling. You can't see. It could be freezing cold. There could be lightning. It is disorienting. It must have been hard for the disciples to say goodbye to Jesus that day when he went up into a cloud. They had just endured the trauma of the crucifixion and were barely warming up to the possibility that Jesus had resurrected. And now he's leaving them? The ascension? Was he leaving them for good? Was this goodbye? How do you say goodbye to the Son of God? Pastor Quello ministered to me through my adolescence, confirmation, graduating high school. During this time, Pastor Quello was diagnosed with cancer. He lost all of his hair and grew thin. He didn't hide the fact from us that he had been a smoker for many years of his life. And likely was trying to make a point to dissuade me and the other teenagers away for the temptation. When I was a freshman in college and had just moved to Flagstaff, Arizona to go to NAU, Pastor Quello died. I went home for the funeral. After the funeral, I remember seeing one of his grandsons sitting outside on a bench with his head hung. He held a plastic plate from the luncheon loosely in his hand, dangling, and I remember seeing droplets of rain falling on it. I felt so bad for him. I was sad that my pastor had died, but he lost his grandpa. If there was any solace that day, it was that it rained. And in the desert, rain is a sign of God's blessing, a tribute to a man who faithfully served God. When Jesus ascended into a heaven, perhaps into a rain cloud, the disciples stood there staring at the cloud, waiting for him to come back, looking for some comfort. After a while, though, two angels gently came to them and encouraged them not to pine away looking at the sky. The angels said that Jesus would come back the same way that he left. Which again gets back to the question, if he comes back the way he left, what was the problem with the disciples staring at a cloud? Wouldn't that be the exact place they should be waiting for him to come back? Well, the answer to that is yes and no. Yes, it can be comforting to look at the sky and imagine heaven and to see rays of hope. But that's not actually how Jesus went to heaven. Jesus' path to heaven, as we read about today in the Gospel of John, in the high priestly prayer, the way in which Jesus was glorified, the moment that he came into his power, almighty divine power from on high, the power of God disclosed in all of its glory, is on the cross. It was on a simple wooden cross when Jesus, totally vulnerable, his own humanity getting the best of him and dying, disclosed his glory. Foolishness to the wise. A stumbling block to the faithful. And nevertheless, God's ultimate power and path to heaven and glory through the cross. So if we want to see Jesus again, like the disciples, We have got to not be ashamed of picking up our cross, but to hold on to it, to lift it up, to carry it, to work, to go out and to see where there is suffering, to see where there are people struggling, to take up our cross and to follow Jesus, and there Jesus we will see again. He will come back to us. Not in buildings, as beautiful as they might be, but in carrying our cross every day with and for our neighbor and ourselves. Pastor Quillo told me once, more than once, that he wanted 12 of his parishioners in his lifetime to become pastors. He would look me at the eye, shake my hand, and say, "Wes, Wes, I've sent 11 so far." And while he stared me in the eye, Jan would come up to me and say, "Dear, he's saying that you would make a good pastor." And even though I felt the pressure, it was nice to be affirmed and to have someone recognize gifts, to be called to ministry. God calls each and every one of us, the priesthood of all believers, to take up our cross and to serve as Jesus, like those 11 disciples that would become 12 with Matthias, to go out and to continue the work of Jesus. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service here at Grace Lutheran, we will be inviting you to take up your cross in a simple way on June 7th and to support our neighbors who are struggling with food insecurity by donating $25 grocery store gift cards. I don't always make an announcement in the sermon, but this is something that is very important to us as we are all so hungry to be together and to serve our neighbor. And whether you can attend to that or whatever you can do, I invite you to pick up your cross and to follow Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.